from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Indonesia, Canada committed to advance gender equality. Canada and ASEAN increase cooperation to face the future's challenge. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Canadian Embassy to Indonesia held the celebration of Canada's 151st National Day in Jakarta on Monday. This celebration was also attended by Indonesian Minister for Women Empowerment and Child Protection, Yohana Susana Yembise. In her speech, Minister Yembise said that Indonesia and Canada had good relations and cooperation, among others, in advancing gender equality. Masuk insert suaranya Menteri Perempuan.
It is with this modern, fast-growing Indonesia that we join hands in peacekeeping, defense, and security, including the struggle against global terrorism. Indonesia's recent success in being elected to the UN Security Council gives us every confidence that our shared interests will be well represented at the high tables in New York. Indonesia's hosting of the IMF World Bank AGM this year is a further contribution to sustainable economic development worldwide. Our countries continue to enjoy a strong trade and investment relationship, business worth billions of dollars, employing hundreds of thousands of people.
Minister Yohana Yembise further said Indonesia had applied gender mainstreaming program in their ministries and institutions across the country. In addition, women and children's rights protection had been guaranteed in various laws and regulations. Minister Yohana also said Indonesia will welcome support and cooperation from Canada in a bid to advance further the gender equality issues. The women of Indonesia make valuable contribution in increasing national economy and alleviating poverty. That was stated by Indonesian Minister for Women Empowerment and Child Protection, Yohana Susana Yembise, in her remarks during the celebration of 151st Canadian National Day, held in Jakarta on Monday. The minister also said Indonesian women can contribute if given proper access.
Indonesian women have also made valuable contribution to Indonesian economy and alleviate poverty. Household welfare increase as women gain access to education, freedom to work in public sphere, and independent income. Data shows that Indonesian women are contributing to 40% of the workplace in Indonesia, 60% of small and medium enterprise owners, and 70% of Indonesian migrant workers.
Minister Yohana Yembise further explained, considering such contribution of Indonesian women for the country, the government will keep pushing quality and quantity of women in politics, economy, and social and culture. Minister Yohana also said Indonesia will also ensure equal representation in every aspect of politics and decision-making. Canadian Ambassador to ASEAN Marie-Louise Hannan in her speech conveyed that ASEAN and Canada cooperated in responding various cross-border threats such as terrorism and extremism, with violence, organized crime, armed proliferation and cybercrime in effort to build peaceful world. On the commemoration of the 151st Canadian National Day in Jakarta on Monday, the ambassador mentioned that the relation of ASEAN and Canada as a dialogue partner is perfect model of cooperation in facing global challenge. Canada and ASEAN also cooperate in the field of promotion of gender equality.
Conflict prevention and resolution, and to promote women's economic empowerment and ensure all women can participate fully in the global economy.
Ambassador Marie-Louise Hannan further explained that Canada and ASEAN will also continue discussion related to free trade agreement. The agenda is also included strong commitment on honor to the workers' rights and local stakeholders and responsible business. According to the ambassador, ASEAN and Canada have many cooperation in facing various current challenges. However, there are still many things to do to face the future opportunity and challenges. The visit of foreign tourists in May this year was dominated by Chinese tourists. Central Bureau of Statistics noted that more than 181,000 tourists from China visited Indonesia in May this year. Meanwhile, for the visit of foreign tourists, which is recorded based on region, Southeast Asia or ASEAN countries dominated the visit in period of January until May this year. This was stated by head of the Central Bureau of Statistics, Kecu Suharyanto, in a press conference in Jakarta on Monday.
Berdasarkan kebangsaan, tidak banyak berubah. Pada bulan Mei ini, wisman paling banyak adalah berasal dari Tiongkok.
Based on the nation, there are not many changes. In May, the most visit of foreign tourists were from China, about 15.11%, followed by Malaysia, 15%, then from East Timor, Australia and Singapore. So the most foreign tourists who visited Indonesia were from the five countries. Based on the region, it can be seen from January to May 2018, cumulatively in order to get accurate data. From January to May 2018, foreign tourists from ASEAN has increased. Suharyanto added that the number of the visit of foreign tourists during May 2018 also influenced the development of transportation, both air, sea, or railway. Especially for domestic air transportation, is noted 7.27 million, and international flight of 1.41 million people. The ship passengers recorded to 1.74 million people, and train 35.48 million people. Central Bureau of Statistics noted June 2018 inflation amounted to 0.59%, with the development inflation rate of January to June 2018 amounted to 1.90%, and inflation rate of year-on-year noted amounted to 3.12%. This was stated by head of the Central Bureau of Statistics, Kecuk Suriharyanto, in a press conference in Jakarta on Monday.
Hasil pemantauan BPS di 82 kota menunjukkan bahwa
data from the Central Bureau of Statistics in 82 cities showed that in June 2018 it was occurred inflation amounted to 0.59%. So with the inflation on June amounted to 0.59%, inflation from January to June 2018 was 1.90%. Meanwhile, year-on-year inflation amounted to 3.12%. Furthermore, Suharyanto added the number is still under inflation target at 3.5%. The occurrence of inflation in June 2018 due to the price increase, which is indicated by the increasing on the entire index of expenditure groups, namely foodstuffs, amounted to 0.88%. Processed food, beverage, cigarette and tobacco amounted to 0.40%. Housing, water, electricity, gas and fuel amounted to 0.27%. Transportation, communication and financial service amounted to 150%. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Central Bureau of Statistics noted inflation rate in June 2018, which also coincided with Lebaran holiday, was lower compared from Lebaran in the previous year. This was stated by Head of Central Bureau of Statistics, Kecu Suharyanto, in a press conference in Jakarta on Monday. Suharyanto appreciated the government and Bank Indonesia's hard work to control the price.
Bagaimana inflasi Juni 2018 ini?
If we compare inflation in June 2018 amounted to 0.59%, in Lebaran last year, which also in June, the inflation was 0.69%, while in 2016, the Lebaran was occurred in July, where the figure was 0.69%. So, if we compare with Lebaran in the previous years, this year's inflation is the lowest. Suharyanto added that the low inflation rate on Lebaran 2018 period was not reflected to the low purchasing power, because demand for food and transportation still quite high. Suharyanto also added the factor which held inflation rate this year is food price. The food price is still maintained compared to the previous years. This is the result of the government's efforts in anticipating the price hike in a number of commodities as well as rice and meat imports. In addition, the monetary policy related to the interest rate issued by Bank Indonesia, given the effect on low inflation rate during Lebaran 2018. Domestic demand has continued to drive domestic economic growth momentum in the second quarter of 2018. Bank Indonesia Executive Director of Communication Agusman said in a statement in Jakarta on Monday, the rising incomes on fiscal stimuli and controlled inflation are maintaining household consumption, coupled with increasing consumer confidence amongst the middle and upper classes. Solid consumption is reflected in stronger automotive and retail sales. Meanwhile, investment growth is still resilient, backed by private building investment and infrastructure projects, as well as non-building investment linked to infrastructure and mining. In addition, increasing cement and heavy equipment sales also point to strong investment. Solid domestic demand has stimulated a surge of imports, particularly of capital goods and raw materials, while export growth remains in positive territory in line with the global economic recovery. Meanwhile, inflation remains under control within the target corridor, supported by stable food prices and anchored expectations. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with the program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Being Smart Voters at 2019 Legislative and Presidential Elections. The election of regional heads has ended, although the results have not been officially announced by the General Election Commission, KPU. The quick count result of the names of candidates for regional heads who get the most votes can already be known. It is very ironic that the election of regional heads may be said to succeed. There are still voters who are smart in determining their choice. The reason is that there are 9 candidates for regional heads who had been designated as suspect by the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, managed to obtain significant votes. In fact, 2 of them can win election held simultaneously throughout Indonesia on June 27th. In 7 other regions thought not winning, the corruption suspects are also successful enough to obtain more votes. Take, for example, 1 candidate for governor of East Nusa Tenggara NTT, who is also involved in the corruption case, appears as second winner in votes from 4 candidates. The significant vote cast of corruption suspects is a reflection of failure of thought among the voters. In fact, the state losses that are so large due to the corruption do not make them reject the corruptors. The general public may reason the principle of presumption of innocence, but they have to keep in mind that Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, certainly does not just determine a person as a corrupt suspect. The fact says that at the level of grassroots, the danger of corruption has not been understandable. Maybe the people do not receive correct information related to the candidates who participated in the elections. So what happened is that they did not know whom to elect. The General Election Commission, KPU, will open the registration of legislative candidates for the 2019 general election from July 4 to 18th and announce the regulation number 20/2018. The contents are that KPU prohibit the former competed corruption to advance in legislative elections. This regulation has been uploaded on the official page of the KPU, although it has not been agreed by the Minister of Justice and Human Rights. Whether KPU's decision will be controversial or not is that the public are expected to be smarter during the legislative and presidential election next year. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello there, nice to be with you all over again with Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. A regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. And I'll start with July the 3rd, 1935, a pioneer in automotive industry, André Citroën, dies. André Citroën, a French engineer who is a polytechnic graduate, is widely regarded as an automotive enthusiast, as a pioneer in the world of automotive industry, especially in aerodynamics, construction to shock absorber. And André Citroën founded the car industry in 1919 with a brand that bears his name, Citroën. It is also known for its innovation on the wheel drive of the car. As a result, he has become a brand with international recognition because of its technology. However, due to legal issues in 1934, the Citroën Automotive Company was acquired by Michelin. Then, in 1976, Citroën was purchased by Peugeot. I'll switch to July the 3rd, 1996. President Boris Yeltsin was re-elected President of Russia. Russian President Boris Yeltsin was re-elected with a 53.5% vote. Its main rival from the Communist Party, Gennady Zyuganov, only garnered 40.5% of the vote. Boris Yeltsin, who was elected president in June 1991, was unable to complete his second term due to economic pressure and conflict in Kosovo. He resigned on December the 31st, 1999 to give way to the Prime Minister Vladimir Putin to become president. I'll end Today in History with July the 3rd, 2001, Baharudin Lopa dies. Baharudin Lopa, who passed away on July the 3rd, 2001, at the age of 66, was an anti-corruption figure in Indonesia. Since serving as Attorney General, Lopa worked hard to eradicate corruption. He is a prosecutor who has almost no fear and indiscriminately enforced the law of the nation and state. Baharudin Lopa is a rare example of a figure who dared to resist the current. Baharudin Lopa also received the Government Watch Award for his dedication to eradicate corruption in Indonesia for the rest of his life. Indonesian Anti-Corruption Day is set by taking Baharudin Lopa's birth date, which is on August the 27th. Baharudin Lopa was named as an anti-corruption figure for fighting against injustice by eradicating corruption in Indonesia endlessly for more than 20 years. He also known as the former ambassador of the Republic of Indonesia to Saudi Arabia. He was clean, honest, selfless and non-corrupt servant of the state. That was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The topic for today is Pancasila as the solution of nation's problem. The implementation and understanding of Pancasila values can prevent various conflicts that may emerge amidst Indonesian people. The emergence of various issues, whether political, legal, social matters, and conflicts, based on ideology and tribe, religion, and race, is possible because the lack of understanding of the values of Pancasila in everyday life. This was stated by Regent of Sleman, Sri Purnomo, at a seminar of Pancasila and Sleman, Jakarta, as quoted by koranjakarta.com. Regent Sri remarked that to solve the problems needs joint efforts to revitalize and realize the values of Pancasila in the people's life. He also said that all related stakeholders must jointly implement Pancasila values. It's necessary that the values are immediately actualized and practiced by Indonesian people. The implementation of Pancasila values in everyday life is considered very important considering the current condition of Indonesia is increasingly dynamic. Meanwhile, Chairman of Luhur Taman Siswa Council in Yogyakarta, Professor Edi Swasono, at the National Resilient Lecture, Kisarino Building, Sarjana Wijaya Taman Siswa University in Yogyakarta on last Thursday, as quoted by suaramerdeka.com, said that Pancasila carries main values of Indonesianhood, and it is a dominant factor to maintain and strengthen unity of Indonesian national resilience. Professor Edi also remarked that Indonesia will be more victorious, powerful, and extraordinary. Thus, a journey forward to improve social and national cohesion must be continuously realized. He also said that Pancasila is the nation's piece of light and the basis of the state. Pancasila is the basis of the state stands, the pillars of nation and state. He also described that Pancasila is the basis of the state, support other main pillars and give color and style to the four principles, whereas the proclamation of independence as the ultimate existential decision. Second, the 1945 Constitution, the third, the Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia, and the fourth, Unity and Diversity. Without Pancasila as the basis of the state, the other pillars cannot stand independently. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Here is news in brief from Dalat Pane. Canadian Embassy to Indonesia held the celebration of Canada's 151st National Day in Jakarta on Monday. This celebration was also attended by Indonesian Minister for Women Empowerment and Child Protection Yohana Susana Yembise. The women of Indonesia make a valuable contribution in increasing national economy and alleviating poverty. This was stated by Indonesian Minister for Women Empowerment and Child Protection, Yohana Susana Yembise, in her remarks during the celebration of 151st Canadian National Day held in Jakarta on Monday. Canadian Ambassador to ASEAN Mary-Louise Hanan in her speech conveyed that ASEAN and Canada cooperated in responding various cross-border threats such as terrorism and extremism with violence, organized crime, armed proliferation and cybercrime, in effort to build peaceful world. The visit of foreign tourists in May this year was dominated by Chinese tourists. Central Bureau of Statistics noted that more than 181,000 tourists from China visited Indonesia in May this year. Central Bureau of Statistics noted June 2018 inflation amounted to 0.59%. With the development, inflation rate of January to June amounted to 1.9% and inflation rate of year-on-year noted amounting to 3.12%. Central Bureau of Statistics noted inflation rate in June 2018, which also coincided with Lebaran holiday, was lower compared from Lebaran in the previous year. This was stated by head of the Central Bureau of Statistics, Kecuk Suharyanto, in a press conference in Jakarta on Monday. Suharyanto appreciated the government and Bank Indonesia's hard work to control the price. Domestic demand has continued to drive domestic economic growth momentum in the second quarter of 2018. Bank Indonesia Executive Director of Communication Agusman said in a statement in Jakarta on Monday that rising incomes on fiscal stimuli and controlled inflation are maintaining household consumption coupled with increasing consumer confidence amongst the middle and upper classes. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Bukalah matamu, kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu. Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik. Show the world you're as bright as the sun. We deserve to be the one.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Pulau Banyak or Banyak Island. So stay tuned. Indonesia is the largest archipelagic country in the world, flanked by the Indian and Pacific Oceans, so Indonesia has world-class wave effect. Indonesia became a paradise for surfers. Therefore, Indonesia is given the nickname of Disneyland of Surfing because Indonesia has many locations for surfing that challenges adrenaline. According to chairman of the Indonesian Surfing Wave Association, Arya Subiakto, there are many world-class waves from the west to the east of Indonesia. In the western tip of Indonesia, Arya mentioned that there are similar islands. The area included in the province of Aceh, which is located in the middle of the Indonesian Ocean. No wonder the waves reach to 5 meters and becomes heaven for the adrenaline challengers. It also becomes paradise for surfers. Banyak Island consists of a cluster of islands directly adjacent to the Indian Ocean, precisely at the western tip of the Sumatra Island. Having an area of about 27,000 hectares, Banyak Island is often called Banyak Islands because it consists of a cluster of 99 islands. Banyak Island is a sub-district located in Aceh Singkil Regency, Nanggro Aceh Darussalam Province. The capital of the sub-district is Balai Island. The trip to Pulau Banyak is better through Medan, North Sumatra, because Medan is the nearest town to Singkil. From Medan to Singkil, you can use travel services with 110,000 rupiah. Furthermore, from Singkil, there is a traditional ship at Jembatan Tinggi Port with only 25,000 rupiah per person. Banyak Island has large sea and a very long and beautiful island. The wave has 6 meters high. Its location spread on Bangkaru Island, Silingar Tip, and south of Tuanku Island. The most visited surfing point is Amandangang Beach and Pelanggaran Beach at Bangkaru Island. Usually the surfers live on the ship or live on board. To rent a boat, you can rent on Bala Island. In addition to paradise for surfers, the island is the house of thousands of coral and marine life. To enjoy the underwater biodiversity of Banyak Island, you can enjoy it by using a boat which is made of translucent glass cups in the bottom part. Or you can also directly snorkeling and diving. Both of these activities can be done on the Thailana Beach, Ragu-Ragu, Matahari, Pabisi, and Sikandang beaches. The beaches are coral beaches with clear water, so the corals which are located in more than 3 meters depth can be seen clearly. Banyak Island is a turtle conservation area. For those who are interested in observing turtle nesting, Bangkaru Island is the right location to see it. The adventure activities can also be done on Tuanku Island with trekking along the forest while enjoying the beauty of the area. The journey can start from Kampung Halaban. Along the way, you can see mouse deer, Nias parrots, squirrel, forest pig, and butterfly. Mm-hmm. That was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Banyak Island or Banyak Islands in Singkil, Aceh. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and guiding you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia or Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station and the Agency for Language Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Maksudmu Kakek Pamannya? Or in English, you mean his uncle's grandfather? Following is an example of a conversation on Maksudmu kakek pamannya or you mean his uncle's grandfather. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Tony and Dinda in Joko's family room discussing their family. Siapa yang berseragam tentara ini? Dia paman Mas Joko, namanya Om Andri. Pamannya seorang tentara seperti kakeknya. Maksudmu kakek pamannya atau kakek Joko? Kakek Mas Joko. After listening to the conversation, I'll introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's topic, which is maksudmu kakek pamannya. You mean his uncle's grandfather. I'll say every sentence twice and you can follow after me. Siapa orang yang berseragam tentara ini? Siapa orang yang berseragam tentara ini? Which means, who is that man in the military uniform? Dia Paman Joko. Dia Paman Joko, which means he is Joko's uncle. Namanya Andri. Namanya Andri, which means his name is Andri. Pamannya seorang tentara seperti kakeknya. Pamannya seorang tentara seperti kakeknya, which means his uncle is a soldier like his grandfather. Maksudmu kakek pamannya atau kakek Joko? Maksudmu kakek pamannya atau kakek Joko? Which means, you mean his uncle's grandfather or Joko's grandfather? If you don't understand other people's words, you can confirm them like Tony does. Maksudmu kakek pamannya atau kakek Joko? Maksudmu kakek pamannya atau kakek Joko? Which means you mean his uncle's grandfather or Joko's grandfather? Ada example. Apakah maksud Anda orang ini adalah paman Anda? Apakah maksud Anda orang ini adalah paman Anda? Which means, do you mean this man is your uncle? Ada example. Kelas akan dimulai malam Selasa. Kelas akan dimulai malam Selasa. Which means the class will start on Tuesday eve or Monday evening. Maaf, maksudmu Selasa malam atau Senin malam? Maaf, maksudmu Selasa malam atau Senin malam? Which means, sorry, you mean Tuesday or Monday evening? Senin malam, which means Monday evening. In the dialogue, you heard pamannya seorang tentara, or his uncle is a soldier. The word pamannya is formed from the word paman and nya. Nya in the sentence means possessive pronouns his. The sentence pamannya seorang tentara can be changed with paman dia seorang tentara, but the same meaning. Before ending today's Mari Belajar Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation example once again. Siapa orang yang berseragam tentara ini? Dia paman Mas Joko, namanya Om Andri. Pamannya seorang tentara seperti kakeknya. Maksudmu kakek pamannya atau kakek Joko? Kakek Mas Joko. After listening to the lesson on maksudmu kakek pamannya, I'm going to give you some exercise which of course related to the words you've learned today. It is to describe your own family by asking the following questions. How many people your family consists of? How many brothers and sisters do you have? What are the age differences between you and your siblings? Example, anggota keluarga saya berjumlah 4 orang. Saya anak pertama dari 2 bersaudara. Saya mempunyai 1 adik laki-laki. Dia 2 tahun lebih muda daripada saya. That was Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia Today. Hopefully it will be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language. For exercise, send your voice recording to voinews@voi.co.id. There will be an attractive gift for the lucky listener to be announced in November 2018. Thanks for listening. We'll meet again tomorrow with another lesson. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment presents Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. Today we will present some Malay songs, so stay tuned.
Thank you.
Listener, you've just listened the song entitled Pilu by Asmidar Darwish. This song composed by Hussein Aididit with musical arrangement created by Bus Lidl. As its title suggests, this song tells about the sadness due to the lover is unfaithful. The song is slow beat with melancholic music in accordance with the lyrics. Pilu included in a special album of sad Malay songs. Asmidar Darwish, known as the Gambus and Malay singer, the songs owned by the singer who comes from West Sumatra, was popular in the 1970s. Before we continue to know more about other Malay songs of Asmidar Darwish, let's listen to a song Naik Sampan. Enjoy the song.
Naik sampan si naik sampan, sampannya laju terus ke pulau. Naik sampan si naik sampan, bikin gembira hati yang risau. Hai menaik sampan, sampan di dayung.
The song Naik Sampan, composed by Hussein Aididit. The lyrics of the song has the rhythm like pantun. The song tells about the happiness in rowing a canoe. The song has cheerful music with quick tempo. To end today's music corner, here is another Malay song entitled Nada Harapan. Like the previous songs, Nada Harapan, also composed by Hussein Aidit. This song tells about someone who is not desperate to achieve the goals in life. As the lyrics, the music is cheerful and vigorously. Well, listener, to conclude the segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the next song, Nada Harapan by Asmidar Darwis. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Padaku semua tak berguna pujian, sanjung dan puji bukan yang aku cari, bukan yang ku cari. Cita-citaku ingin mencapai tujuan, tidak hanya mimpi yang tiada berarti, yang tiada berarti.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.